and Meech's Musings. Happy Monday, everybody. It is Monday, March 30th, 2020. Good afternoon. Thank you all for tuning in today. Yes, I am wearing the official shirt. There it is, baby. Oh, yes. Meech's Mania is running wild officially now on the Jeff Meacham Network here on YouTube. And of course, if you're listening on Anchor, you're like, I don't see anything. What are you talking about? Well, check it out on YouTube, folks. There you go. Simple as that. I did not post last week's Talk Wrestling on Anchor. That's my bad. I realized that over the weekend, so I will endeavor to be better about that going forward. But I got so caught up in the mania, if you will, I guess is the best way to put it. I taped Talk Wrestling, and then I went out, to take the trash out, and there it was on the doorstep, the package with the two Meech Mania shirts. So, teespring.com/store/Jeff-Meacham-network. There you go. I'm also wearing the No DQ hat. No, this is not a shill for No DQ, but you can find No DQ merchandise at nodq.com/merch. And I highly recommend you stick with NoDQ.com this week. It is an important week. It is, by and large, the craziest WrestleMania, the most unique WrestleMania of all time. And we'll be covering it this Sunday and Saturday, apparently. Saturday and Sunday both. Live on NoDQ.com's Twitter. Probably on my Twitter as well. Probably following along because I'm not going to have anybody over here for a party like I usually do. Thanks to a certain global pandemic, if you will. But today is it's one of those episodes where it's story time with Jeff. And no, I'm not going to do the Mean Gene voice for story time because I don't do a Mean Gene voice. I interview Mean Gene for a Mean Gene voice. That's what I do. But it was actually 12 years ago, right around this time of day, as you're watching this on the East Coast, about 3 o'clock, that I was walking along with my father into the Citrus Bowl in Orlando for WrestleMania 24. It had been a crazy, unforgettable previous 3 days in Orlando. We did, Walt Disney World was the backdrop of the trip, if you will. The focus of the trip was WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame. And the reason for that is because of the Hall of Fame induction and what did turn out to be the last match of a certain greatest of all time. We'll get to that momentarily. But it was really, really an interesting point in my life. Not unlike my life now, except now is a little more, I guess, complicated because my son's older and there's more pushing down on my head than there was 12 years ago when I lost my job and had my then pregnant but not girlfriend baby mama. I hate the baby mama. It's a stupid term, but anyway, that's what she was. Move in with us. So it was a very interesting point in my life, and my dad, I guess, took pity on my ass and said, you know what, we're going to Disney World. Okay, sure. I might say no to a free trip to Walt Disney World. So that was 12 years ago that WrestleMania 24 took place, and the Hall of Fame, my second Hall of Fame induction, of course, you know, the first one, I got to see the Hulkster, and Piper, and Jimmy Hart, and Paul Orndorff, the Iron Sheik, and Nikolai Volkoff. I think I said Jimmy Hart already. Let's see, Piper, Hogan, or Bob Orton. Can't forget Cowboy Bob Orton. So this is going to be a cool moment to see the Hall of Fame induction again, the ceremony again. And unfortunately, this was the first year they transitioned from a little theater type setting, kind of like a movie theater or a stage theater, to a big grand arena. In this case, the now demolished Amway Arena in nearby Orlando. But it was a good class. A very good class for the Hall of Fame. You had Mae Young, you had Eddie Graham, you had Gordon Solie, who people sleep on Gordon Solie being the greatest announcer of all time because Jim Ross is alive and still doing his thing. But growing up in the 70s and 80s, especially if you were a fan of Championship Wrestling in Florida or Jim Crockett Promotions, there was no greater announcer than Gordon Solie. And JR inducted him. It was a very, very cool moment for me as a fan. I did not get to see Gordon in his prime. I got to see Gordon later in his WCW years prior to his retirement and subsequent passing. But he was an amazing announcer, a great broadcaster. He called the first Starrcade along with Bob Cottle. Great show. A great call, I should say. The show itself was what it was. The Starrcade was different. But I thoroughly enjoyed the call by Soli and Cottle. Great call there. Soli, of course, you know, was Jim Ross's inspiration. So if you're the inspiration for who many feel is the greatest of all time, you must be the greatest of all time yourself. So Gordon was amazing. The Briscoe brothers, again, you know, people, you know, tend to think of Jerry Briscoe only as one of the Stooges along with Pat Patterson, but great former wrestler in his own right. And of course, Jack Briscoe, former two-time world's champion, the first person to win the 10 pounds of gold in the ring. Harley Race, of course, was awarded the 10 pounds of gold as NWA champion as he entered the ring that night in Houston against Jack Briscoe. But Jack was the first to win it. And so Jack's forever got a place right here. I should have worn the 10 pounds of gold. But I don't want to mess up my shirt. And of course, High Chief Peter Maivia and Rocky Johnson, inducted by The Rock. Let's not sleep on The Rock, shall we? I know, I've really harped on this a lot the last 12 years. And it still bears repeating that had Dwayne not rambled on and on and on and on, we would have been out of there an hour earlier. But what are you going to do? It's The Rock, and it's The Rock is The Rock, right? And he just, he's a great orator. There's no question about it. And yeah, I mean, when you're inducting your family, I guess it's, I guess you get caught up in the moment. But unfortunately, it became more about his interaction with John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin and Stephanie and Jericho and everybody else he was interacting with, and less about the High Chief and the Soul Man until the very, very end of the speeches. So, Lee. And of course, the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Again, you know, I said when I unveiled the shirts that Hulk Hogan's the greatest of all time for me. But even this Hulkamaniac through and through can definitely see that Ric Flair is. There's, of course, debate. Him and Shawn Michaels is the debate. But we'll get to that in a minute. But Ric Flair is probably the most influential primary WWE wrestler of all time. He retired in WWE, of course, and he made his name in WWE after 2002. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, Flair was WCW. Flair was the NWA and Jim Crockett Promotions. So he's, had I grown up in the South or, you know, in a NWA territory, I'd probably be, no question about it, Ric Flair's greatest of all time. So there you go. All right, WrestleMania. Again, you know, I'm at WrestleMania, and I know that back home, my son's mother-to-be and my family are not watching because they didn't care about wrestling. She did to a certain extent only because of me, but my mother and my brother were like, meh, whatever. But dad and I were firmly there. We got to see a great card. In my opinion, it was a great card. There were some low points, there were some high points, but the stuff we went for, I feel delivered, and we'll get to that momentarily. They had a dark match. There was a dark match that aired on the included on the WrestleMania DVD. I think it may be on the network, but I don't know for sure. It was basically a battle royal to determine who would face ECW champion Chavo Guerrero. So for the first time, the ECW championship would be defended at WrestleMania, which was super cool because you remember the previous year, the ECW champion was Bobby Lashley, and of course he was involved in the Battle of the Billionaires with Mr. McMahon, represented by Umaga, versus Bobby Lashley, who represented He Who Shall Not Be Named on my podcast. The man who sits in the big chair in the Oval Office, put it that way. Currently, anyway. So Kane, of course, wins that Battle Royal, goes on later to face Chavo, and we'll get there momentarily. The show opened a little bit, you know, I don't know about opening it with Finlay versus JBL. Not a fan of opening with a Belfast brawl. People were happy to see Hornswoggle and happy to see Finlay, and they were glad to boo John, no question about it. But I feel the match was just kind of meh. It was hard hitting. Of course, if you're gonna get Bradshaw and Finlay in a fight, you're gonna get a fight. But just not the best way to open a WrestleMania. The next match, however, more than made up for it. It was the fourth annual Money in the Bank ladder match. CM Punk wins the ladder match for the first time. The Money in the Bank ladder match. The spot I remember the most, there's a couple, of course, but the main one is, of course, John Morrison. Let's see, how did he quit? He climbed the turnbuckle and performed a moonsault onto the competitors outside the ring while holding the ladder against his chest. So John Morrison's got the ladder right here, and he moonsaults the entire rest of the field with the ladder in his hand. It was, I had never seen that before, and I don't think I've seen it since, so. Once again, John Morrison being the innovator of offense, with all due respect to Chris Kanyon. And the return of Matt Hardy to cost MVP the match led to a U.S. title match the following month at Backlash. Matt Hardy defeats MVP. MVP had been champion the entire year after beating Chris Benoit back at Judgment Day of 07. So he reigned for almost a year, which was super cool for MVP. So there's that. The Fink brings it the Hall of Famers next. Again, we had just seen them the previous night at the Amway Arena, but it was cool to see the families and the participants that were still alive come out there and get their recognition on stage. Very, very cool. It was a wonderful moment to see Ric Flair's family get their moment in the sun, too, because people forget, they did it back then. They don't now, thanks to Charlotte. But back then, they really didn't focus much on Flair's family until that night. So it was cool to see Nate. It was cool to see Megan and David and Ashley and Reed get their moment in the spotlight. It was very cool. Batista Umaga, it was what it was. Again, you know, it's a battle for brand supremacy. There were a lot of promotional matches on this card, let's be honest. So, not surprised Batista won. Batista was still, at that point, had the rocket ship tied to his ass. So, and he was headed for the showdown with Cena at SummerSlam that year. So, you know, to get him started on that road with a big win at WrestleMania, and Umaga, whose star pretty much comedied to earth after WrestleMania the previous year and the loss to Bobby Lashley. He fell from grace for sure, but it's again, is it really a WrestleMania match? Well, yeah, it's not WrestleMania, but is it WrestleMania worthy? I dispute that personally. Nothing against Dave, nothing against Eddie. Just not my choice for WrestleMania. How about that? I found this one funny. I find it funny now looking back. In the moment, I was supremely pissed off. This great big bill for the ECW Championship match that Kane had won the Battle Royal to earn ends in 11 seconds. The ECW Championship gets a big showcasing. The first time ever the ECW Championship is going to be defended at WrestleMania. And the match is 11 seconds long, and Kane has to attack Chavo from behind. If you listened really quietly in that moment in Orlando, somewhere in New York, in his then exile from WWE, you could almost hear Paul Heyman crying. Anyway, there was that. The main event matches, of course, were what they were. I will get to the Flair-Michaels match last, because I feel that it deserves the most coverage. So I will do that momentarily. the Playboy match, I thought it was so funny only because the lights went out during the match. So we got the match with the women that were all scantily clad ended up being in the dark, so they couldn't see anything. Okay. But the actual Playboy representatives lose. It was, who was it? It was Maria and Ashley against Beth Phoenix and Melina. Santino, of course, walked out with Beth Phoenix and Melina. Snoop Dogg's the master of ceremonies. And they have a typical for then women's tag team match. The heels win. Santino helps. Snoop Dogg takes him out after. He kisses Maria after. So Snoop Dogg does. And all is right with the world. And Snoop Dogg walks away with the girls, as only a pimp can do, right, Snoop? There you go. Randy Orton defending the WWE Championship successfully against Triple H and John Cena. I actually like this match. I thought it was really cool. A cool match. I like that they worked John Cena back into the situation after Orton intentionally got himself disqualified at, I believe it was No Way Out that year. When Cena cashed in his Rumble win, Rumble earned contract against the champion. And, you know, his entrance was really cool, too. He had a drumline entrance, which was unique, very much a John Cena entrance. You know, John always got the big entrance at WrestleMania, and there was no exception here. Very, very cool. Everybody got their spots in. Everybody looked great. Hunter was a month away from regaining the championship again and going on to Survivor Series before he lost it. So, you know, Orton had been champion since No Mercy when he had the big night at No Mercy when he was awarded, lost, and regained the championship in the span of 3 hours. So, Orton had been the man. So, good for him. You know, he will be the man this weekend. You know, he's a featured player. So, as is John Cena. So, interesting to see where they're going to go this weekend with Orton and Edge and then Cena and The Fiend. I'm curious. Well, of course, tomorrow on the No DQ Review, we'll have a live at 7 Eastern. Don't forget. So, a few hours from now tomorrow, I should say. We will be going live on YouTube to discuss WrestleMania 36. The Money Mayweather Big Show match, it was the first of two times I actually I was involved in paying for a Mayweather headlined event. The other time, of course, when he faced Conor McGregor a couple years ago. And I was rooting for Mayweather against Conor. Not here. I hoped the Big Show would take him out, but, you know, Mayweather can't lose. He has not lost, so... You know, at least at that point, he hadn't lost. I don't know if he's lost since. I don't think he has. I don't know. But it took chair shots and brass knuckles from the best fighter in the world to knock out the largest athlete in the world. So that shows you how double tough the Big Show was. And Floyd and his handlers definitely got more than their money's worth. Main event was Undertaker and Edge for the World Championship. My dad came to see this more than anything. It's the first time he'd seen Undertaker live in a very long time. Pretty sure it was the first time he'd seen the dead man with the big entrance and everything. I don't know. I have to look this up. And I don't have it on me right in front of me. But I'm pretty sure that he was at the house show we went to in June of 91 and faced the Ultimate Warrior in a body bag match. So... We had seen the dead man before, but not with the big, you know, the pyro and the lights and the big gong and the entrance and the smoke and all that. It was very cool. And, of course, he extends his streak to 16-0 then, wins the world championship back. It had been stolen from him the previous May from Edge with Money in the Bank cash-ins. So, full circle for the moment. Of course, we see later that Edge would... find a way to get it back, and it was a very, very cool cool WrestleMania. But of course, the main reason everybody was there, I feel, was The match ended up being Match of the Year that year by The Observer, I believe, and by Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Shawn Michaels, in his attempt to end the career, he didn't want to, but he was designated to be the one to end Ric Flair's legendary 35-year career, and of course, he did. I was very, very happy with the way this match turned out. It was probably the best Ric Flair match I've seen first run. As it happened. I mean, whether it be on TV or live in person, it was the best Flair match I'd seen ever. One of Shawn Michaels' best ever. And the moments that we didn't see from way back where we were up in the cheap seats, but got to see on replay, the I'm Sorry I Love You to this day gets me right here, and I'm getting emotional now thinking about it. Dad looked at me like I was crazy, that I was crying over the retirement, or I thought, of Ric Flair. And considering how much I'd been a Hulkamaniac more than a Stone Cold Mark rather than a Ric Flair fan, but Ric Flair is special. Ric Flair is a special person for all of us in wrestling, and the fact that we believed he was not going to wrestle anymore was very, very hard for us to accept, even at the age he was then. Now, of course, he came back a year and a half later, almost 2 years later, on the Hulkamania tour, and then for TNA briefly. But I've allowed myself to take that portion of his career out of my mental equation. It's like, you know what? He retired. His last match. The last match that counted was the one I saw. And I said it in the moment. I think it was on Talk Wrestling. I said this out in the backyard. Out of 7 billion people on this planet, I was one of 74,000 and something people that got to pay it for a ticket to see Ric Flair's last professional wrestling match. And I will take those odds any day of the week. I think that's super cool. What we didn't know, however, as Dad and I were winding our way down the Citrus Bowl exit ramp, walking, not driving, we're still not at the car yet, okay, was that there was a pyrotechnics glitch. Let me see if I can see this. After the show, WWE was criticized for a malfunction in the pyrotechnics during the Undertaker's victory celebration. During that celebration, a hot cable for pyro was sent flying into audience members in the upper seating bowl of the stadium, leaving 45 people injured, with some people hospitalized. The accident was apparently due to a cable which fireworks were traveling across snapping, thus resulting in fireworks exploding across the top row of the upper bowl. Crazy that we had no idea, because we were on the opposite side of the stage, of the stadium from the stage, so we didn't know about it. I can't remember if it was that night when we got back to the hotel or the next morning, but at some point my mom called and was flipping out, making sure we were okay. We're like, why? And she goes, turn on the news. And we turn on the news, and there it was. Big old explosion. Big old pyrotechnics snafu. Holy shit. So we got out of there when we could. Thank God. That was awesome. It was great to miss that, because that would have been scary. We did one more full day at Disney World. I think it was the Magic Kingdom on Monday. We did not go to Raw, which I regret to this day. And it wasn't out of anger at my dad or whatever. We didn't have the tickets, so we didn't go. And they do the big Ric Flair send off. They do the big thing that was on Raw and after the Raw, showing off the air, which thank God the network has recorded for posterity, because I get to watch that now. But I probably would have been a blubbering idiot seeing the Horsemen come out and everybody come out to say goodbye to Ric Flair. I probably would have been more of a mess than I was at WrestleMania. So maybe looking back, the best thing was for me to not be there. Dad and I landed Tuesday. And we took off from Orlando Tuesday afternoon, landed Tuesday night. And the next morning, my son's mother and I, who my son is still in utero, of course, we go to what we think is going to be her final checkup. And sure enough, she's already in the early stages of labor. So we ended up going straight to a waiting area for her to for her water to finally break and be ready for the cesarean section that would deliver Dylan to the world. That was Friday morning. April 4th, 2008. So today's March 30th. So you do the math, folks. 6 days. 6 days between WrestleMania. My last live WrestleMania experience. And my son being born. And it's 12 years now. That's crazy. He's turning 12 this Saturday. Day one of WrestleMania. So his birthday will forever be intertwined with my WrestleMania memories. So there you go. Crazy, crazy, crazy. There it was. Meech's Musings. Long show. Damn, 27 minutes. Holy shit. Let me do a quick plugs and get that out of the way. Tomorrow, live on Instagram, live on Twitter. You'll see the runner here momentarily. Live at the ODQ Review at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific for WrestleMania predictions with Aaron and Virtue. And I believe Greg Cherry is going to be on with us tomorrow. That'll be cool to see Greg. And speaking of Greg, this week on Wrestling Rewind, I'll be sporting the other Hulkamania, Meechamania shirt, but not for a Hulk Hogan match. No. We're watching probably the greatest Shawn Michaels, or the greatest early Shawn Michaels. Okay, that's true, because the live match is there. One of the greatest Shawn Michaels WrestleMania memories of all time. Certainly one of Bret Hart's greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. The Iron Man match from WrestleMania 12 in Anaheim that I was supposed to be at. Didn't get to go. Yeah. Thursday, tentatively, and it's on the runner here, but Thursday, tentatively, we're going to have a Hall of Fame discussion, and whether it's relevant in 2020 or whether they're just going through the motions, even with it not happening this week like it's supposed to. And Friday, we'll be talk wrestling. My final thoughts going into WrestleMania this weekend. So that's across the Jeff Meacham Network. Buy the shirt. Support my friends. Support my supporters. Support everybody. Get out there and spend that money, folks. We will see you next week right here.